In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. Many are called, but few are chosen. Those words end today's gospel passage, and they should actually cause a little startle in all of us. Many are called, but few are chosen. Indeed, many have been invited to the heavenly banquet, a heavenly banquet that's celebrated every Sunday in the Eucharistic liturgy. Sometimes it happens during the week, as we did on Thursday, December 9th. And yet, similar to the three invited guests depicted in today's gospel passage, how many people, how many baptized, find an excuse not to attend? Is not, however, the first and great commandment to love God selflessly, with all of one's heart, with all of one's soul, with all of one's strength, and with all of one's mind? Hence, in obedience to the first and great commandment, every baptized person should make it a priority to attend the liturgical services, whether it's a Sunday Eucharistic liturgy or even a Friday evening Vespers. Then in today's epistle, St. Paul also gives a similar exhortation. Quote, "Walk with care, not unwise, but be wise, making the most of your time." Why? Because the days are evil. End of quote. Indeed, as St. Paul says, the days are evil, insofar that many of the baptized will allow secondary loves to replace their first love. Secondary loves eclipse God. Secondary loves help us to forget about God. Secondary loves cause us to ignore God. Secondary loves tend to make us give God our leftovers. Secondary loves can make our hearts indifferent toward God. With a solicitous care, the church gives you and me these scriptural passages, these scriptural readings on this second Sunday before the Feast of the Nativity, a Sunday that has a specific name. It's a Sunday of our forefathers. Sunday of the forefathers. Who are these forefathers that we commemorate today? They're the righteous souls of the Old Testament. They're the men and women who prioritized their love for God, and they walked carefully and wisely because the days are evil. And do not think that our times are any different than their times. The evil's just as present today, maybe in different forms. Back then, we can talk about paganism. There's paganism today, rampant. We as a society worship science and the state over God. There's human trafficking. There was human sacrifice before the time of Christ and in the Old Testament. There's human sacrifice today. It's called human trafficking. It's called killing babies in the womb. There was idol worship some 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. and his idol worship today. We worship consumerism, materialism. We love and indulge in pleasures. Back then, we talk about the love of sensuality that they had. We talk about the violence that we see in those cultures of the ancient days. And yet, let's be honest, our culture too loves violence and sensuality. No, the evil hasn't changed. It's just as much present today as it was 3,000-4,000 years ago. It was present there long before our Lord came. It's all through the Old Testament. It's all in the New Testament. And it's in this final age, the age of the church. And in those times, those dark times of the paganism and idolatry, love of sensuality, we have men and women, our forefathers, who stand out to us because of their faith in God. They prioritize their love for God. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel, Moses and his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron, the mother of Samuel, Hannah and Samuel himself, the grandmother of David, Ruth, and her grandson, King David, his son Solomon. Or who could not forget Esther and Judith and Deborah, Gideon, Jephthah, Barak, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the list goes on and on of the countless righteous souls of the Old Testament who loved God first before they loved anything else. These people, these righteous souls of the Old Testament long to see the day of the Lord. And those aren't my words. That's not my telling you. That's the Lord. Did he not say in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, "And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And then in Matthew 13, verse 17, our Lord says, "For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." And then we have Matthew 12, verse 42. "The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, someone greater than Solomon is here." Abraham, Isaac, Queen of Sheba. The prophets, the righteous men according to our Lord, they long for this day to see the Lord. These are the righteous souls. No, they weren't perfect. Read the scriptures and we see plenty of the mistakes they made. But it's not because they're perfect that we commemorate them. No, we commemorate them today because their hearts were set on God. Even though they may have fallen here and there, they got back up and they kept their love for God first. These righteous souls of the Old Testament long for this day of the heavenly banquet. And so we see in every Eastern church the icon of Abraham and Isaac, Abraham and Sarah, serving at the table of the three angels that came to visit Abraham. And who are they? They represent the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's a banquet. It's a supper, a heavenly supper. And so you and I are also called to join our Lord at the heavenly table, at the heavenly banquet. That's why the church commemorates this on this second Sunday before Christmas. They are to encourage you and me to live our baptismal gift of faith. Yes, it's a gift. Many are called, few are chosen. You've been given the gift of faith. You've been given the new life of the kingdom. May the witness of our forefathers, the ancestors of Christ, encourage you and me on this day and in these final 2 weeks before the Nativity to have an act, to make an act of metanoia, to make an act of conversion, to reorient our hearts, to reorient the way we're looking at our lives, to reorient our choices and put God first, the light of the world. In other words, what secondary loves have you placed before the first love of Almighty God? In what ways have you given into acts of disordered love, where you've used your neighbor, you abused your neighbor, you've abused yourself, or you've abused creation? How have you forgotten God? How have you ignored Him? How have you given God your leftovers? How have you become indifferent toward Him? When, why did you decline an invitation to join God at His heavenly banquet, celebrated every Sunday? Or why did you not come maybe on December 9th to the Divine Liturgy to recall, to commemorate the conception of Our Lady? Because without her, we would not be here today. We would have no Savior without Our Lady. Why do you not come to Vespers on Friday evenings, joining in the church's prayer, manifesting on earth the kingdom of God? One guest refused the Lord's invitation because he wanted to possess earthly, something earthly. That earthly thing ended up enslaving that man. Another guest declined the invitation because he was too busy. He had no time for God. And a third guest had just gotten married. His heart was too full to receive the love of God. Today's scripture passage, or passages in the commemoration of our forefathers, is a call, a rallying call to you and me to hearken to those words of St. Paul in the epistle, "Awake, O sleeper, in order to receive the light of Christ." As you and I are preparing for the feast, are you fasting to make room for the Lord? Are you spending more quality time in prayer and scripture reading to be vigilant for the Lord? Have you intensified your self-giving, your acts of almsgiving? Because those acts of selfless love open our heart wide to receive the God who is selfless love. Have you made a good confession? You got 2 weeks to get it ready. Get yourself ready, because the new child is coming. Concerned for our divine life, the church does not seek to pass laws and obligations and mere human standards. No, these fasting, prayer, almsgiving, making a good confession, These are the basics upon which the life of divinization will mature. These are the principles necessary to become fully alive. These are the proven means by which you and I, with a lived faith, will encounter in a new and joyful way the new child. Christ is among us.